The industry's become soft, Eric. I'm sorry to say, we're not soft. We're hard.
Are we?
Yeah, we're rock hard. Today on OverAsk, Eric and I tackle your most controversial comments, things we hate about the industry, and tips to consistently be growing your content.
The Broke Agent presents OverAsk Podcast.
Eric, we're back. We had to come back.
Yeah, we did.
We got to get some stuff. See, the problem with us is we produced some clips a couple of weeks back on a solo episode, and people went
bananas,
crazy.
Berserk, bananas. Psychotic.
Yeah, I mean,
angry,
we didn't,
furious.
All we said was don't interview restaurant owners, and those the savages. I don't know how many DMs you got, but
2000.
I got tons of DMs, tons of comments. And the problem with us is there was a split second where we were texting late at night and we were thinking, damn, did we go too far? And then it all clicked and we said, you know what? We just told someone not to interview restaurant owners. We didn't go too far. And now we're doubling down.
We are doubling down. In the scheme of things, telling people not to interview local restaurant owners is not that big of a deal. You know, we were a little rattled there because there were some comments saying, you guys just sit there and pontificate on your podcast. You're no experts. You don't know what you're talking about. I've interviewed local restaurant owners and I've gotten so much business from it. But guess what, Matt? Turns out some of that's not true.
Some of that is not true. And of course, we're not insane enough to do an entire episode on this rebuttal.
Of course not.
We certainly will touch on it. But what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to touch on a bunch of opinions. We're going to call them opinions, folks. Everyone's allowed to have one. Yours don't have to be the same as ours. We have
ours might not even be the same as each other's.
On this episode.
Correct.
Yeah, likely they won't. So, and that's okay. That's what makes the world go round, Eric.
Opinions?
Opinions, yeah. So, differing opinions. But here's the thing. We'll touch on this restaurant owner thing one last time, okay? Real quick, do you want to start here? Do you want to start here,
yeah,
Eric?
Yeah, we'll start
because
here,
we
absolutely.
We got threats. We got people saying we were attacking them. And this was more than one. This was not, in case someone thinks we're attacking them again. I got DMs saying they felt targeted and attacked. I don't know what you got.
Yep. Exactly that exact terminology, specifically targeted and attacked. But that's just one individual. There was other individuals saying basically the same thing. Like they are calling me out specifically, whether it was about the baby mic or maybe they had recently posted a restaurant video or something like that. And we just want to, clear the air here, Matt.
Yes. Yes. And we're not trying to be aggressive. We're not trying to be aggressive.
Well, we could be a little bit aggressive, I think. I think it's okay for something like this.
Okay. 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 So here's where we stand on this. All right. And I think, Eric, we said it was an opinion, but we're right also.
Yes.
This opinion is the right one. Because we dug and dug for people to come on the podcast and argue our opinion and tell us how they got all this incredible business. For example, my Freddie Mercury video has produced me over $100,000 worth of commission, Eric.
It's enormous.
It's great. I mean, to some people it's not, but that's one video, right? It cost me $300 and I could track that commission back to that video. All we wanted was someone to step forward and say, hey, I've made this amount from doing these videos. You lunatics are wrong. Unfortunately, we couldn't find that, Eric.
Correct. To be clear, we did DM and engage with multiple people in the comments, inviting them on the show to combat our opinion, to give their side. Nobody wanted to. In fact, we actually had three separate people say, you know what? I've actually began doing these videos, but I haven't necessarily seen a result yet. So I think that we are right in this situation. I think the restaurant owner videos are an enormous waste of time still. And I don't like seeing them. That's all. That's my final point on it. I don't enjoy seeing them.
Yep.
Me specifically. Does that mean your clients don't enjoy them? No. Does that mean it's not great for your local business owner? No. Does your local business owner know now that you exist because you interviewed them? Maybe the content sucked, but that person is now going to recommend you? Possibly. But show me the results.
Show us the results.
That's all.
That's true. And what I'd like to say on this is do something. Do like if you're going to do this, okay, and we're going to end it here. We're going to end it right here. And if you want to do it and you like doing it, whatever, keep doing it. You know, who are we to say not to do it? Do it all you want. But I don't think anybody cares if their real estate agent knows where the best pizza place is. I don't think anyone really cares about that, about being the digital mayor of your town, Eric. And we're going to get into this because this really, really upsets me, but I'm going to end it with this. If you're going to do something like this, I think you have to come from a place of passion, of enthusiasm, of a love for food and maybe small business owners. The problem I have with this, Eric, is they're coming from a place of this is going to get me business. They don't care about the person's food. They don't care about their restaurant. The only thing they can think of is this is going to get me business if I do this. I don't like people coming from that point of view. And when you come from that point of view, you're not going to get a real review of the restaurant. Of course not. You're not. This could be the worst restaurant in all of LA. That person's not going to tell you whether it's good or not.
Right.
So
yeah, no, I agree. I did just see a fantastic video by Chris Benjamin.
I saw that too.
Of him doing a burger review. It was fantastic. He's actually eating the burger. So there's counter examples to this. We're just talking about the stereotypical robotic interviews. But I think we put this issue to rest.
Yes.
We're doubling down. We still hold our opinions. Come show us if this is resulting in actual business. I know Kyle Whistle of EXP has apparently crushed these videos and gets an enormous amount of business from them. So that's fantastic. But
good for him.
Let's get into this whole digital mayor thing, Matt, because this is a phrase you hear a lot in the real estate community. Everybody is parroting this one. This is the new restaurant owner. This is kind of like the rock star agent. You are now the digital mayor of your town. Everybody starts saying that. In fact, I think I've probably said it 10 times just because it's been programmed into me. So what do you think of the term digital mayor?
I don't like it. I don't like it because what does that even mean? I mean, I don't want to be the mayor. and I think it's hard. Okay. Because no, I don't like it. I'm going to stick with that. I don't like it. I think if you want to farm a very specific area and you want to be the digital mayor of that certain town, okay, good. But that might pigeonhole you down the road to get any type of other listings outside of that town because you're not the digital mayor of the town beside you. And I think it's just, at this point, sounds a little silly to say. And like you said, because so many people are saying it, you're not being original anymore. At one point, yeah, maybe that was original. That, like you said, someone was at a conference and they were like, you got to be the digital mayor of your town. And people gasped and thought it was the coolest thing ever.
The light switched on in the head.
Yeah.
Digital. We're all digital mayors now. And they're all just, they all left the conference in a single file line and went straight to their first local restaurant to become the digital mayor. But I think let's try to unpack what digital mayor means, because we could both agree we hate the phrase just because it's been overused, and we probably only just hate it because we've heard it so much, right? I don't know if there's necessarily an actual reason, but I think what digital mayor is referring to is that you are the local expert, which is just another thing. It's like just a cooler way to say the local expert in a way, but it's, you're talking about the local spots, you know about all the businesses coming up, the new developments, new restaurants, you are breaking down local news stories, you're the go-to source if there's a disaster, if there's a party, if there's something happening at a park. I don't know. I don't really know what it means, but you're just like, you're the go-to person. I do kind of understand that. So
yes,
Let us know in the comments. What exactly does digital mayor mean? Who created this? Who was the first person to ever say digital mayor? Was it TF? Was it Brian Buffini? Was it Gary Keller? I don't know. Right? I'm going to find the origin of these phrases.
I think it was Gary Keller. I'm going to bet my money on Gary Keller.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, you want to be the go-to person for your town. I mean, I've never heard of anyone having a real estate agent as the go-to person that everyone wants to talk to and ask about where the best restaurant is and where the best concert in the park is. They go to a realtor. I don't know. Maybe people are just more wholesome than we are. And
I think we're just relatively cynical right now. But another counterpoint to this, Candace Decker, who we had on the podcast, great episode. She was the digital mayor in terms of disaster when the hurricane hit Florida. So she actually was that local resource. So of course, respect to that. And yes. You know, we're just talking shit here, but are just curious where this is coming from.
Here's the thing. We don't have to agree on everything. Okay. This is never, I think agents have gone way too soft. This has become a yes men industry where every piece of content that every person does has to be incredible. And that's not the way you're going to grow. Me, you, and Dan have a group chat and we talk about this constantly. We are constantly bouncing ideas off of each other and we're saying, like, is this good? Is this bad? The industry's become soft, Eric. I'm sorry to say. We're not soft, we're hard.
Are we?
Yeah. We're rock hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the industry is soft. And we too at times were very soft, but it's become a yes men industry. Okay. Every piece of content, everything that everyone does in this industry has to have a positive reaction or people freak out. If we don't have the same opinion as someone, people freak out. They feel the need that they have to voice their opinion in the comments. That's what happened to us. Great example. Byron reacted. Well, he's been reacting to everything over us. That's all he watches is over us. So
yeah, thank God the real world has us for content. Otherwise, that show would be destroyed.
Off air. Byron did a video where he reacted to my video on AI, talking about how it's going to take over real estate, and he completely debunked and disagreed with it.
Right.
Now, Byron and I are friends. Do I hate Byron? Yes, I do, but not for that reason. You know, I hate him for a ton of other reasons.
Right.
Yeah, but not that reason, okay? And that's totally fine. He's got a different opinion, and that's all good. What we don't need is people putting out shitty content and everyone just saying, oh yeah, it's the best thing ever. And a lot of brokers do that. A lot of team leads do that. And it's not necessary. Me, you, and Dan have a group chat and we constantly bounce ideas off of each other. And that's a place where we don't allow each other to post content that we don't think is going to work. So if you post something, you say, what do you think of this? Dan and I will give you an honest opinion. We'll say, nah, I don't get it. And that's good because there's accountability there and we're producing good content. We think, because people, we don't have just yes men in our corner.
Criticism is necessary for content to improve. And obviously listening to this, we are not the arbiters of content. We are two great guys talking into a microphone. So obviously there's content that people like that we don't like and vice versa. But yeah, I think it's just, you're right when you say the industry is soft in the sense that anytime someone puts something out, anytime someone does anything, it's like there has to be this mutual support from all real estate agents, which I do like in a sense that like the community does support each other. But if there is no criticism that can be levied, if there's no tweaks, then you are just going to have a lot of people wasting a lot of time to produce content that isn't actually getting results. So
yeah.
I do also want to touch upon like the reaction videos. This is great content that mm-hmm. BAM is, you know, discovering in itself that we could create and spin so much content out of our own content. And if you're an agent listening to this, you know, reacting to our content or reacting to other agents' content, or just trying to figure out a way to make one piece or one video into multiple pieces of content can really help you go a lot further with your content strategy. I just said content like 16 times in a row.
Yeah.
But if you have a video that goes viral, embed that video in a blog. Break that video up into multiple reels. Break that video up into multiple TikToks. If that's a topic that people like, maybe that becomes a long form video for YouTube. Maybe that becomes something you send in an email blast. Like Pantana talks about this shit all the time, where if you have something that's hitting, whether it's the local restaurants, like we've basically spun two or three episodes. We talked about it on the walkthrough. We did a blog on it. We did an agents react on it. So if you're listening to this and you have something that is a like a point that you want to make that actually is an opinion, that's a great piece to just spin and then talk to other people, bring them on your show, debate them. So I love what's going on.
Yeah. Milk it. Yep. Milk it for sure. And yeah, the thing about the comments right now is I'm finding it's not even like, someone's, some people do, they'll comment and be like, I disagree. Like we had some people on the YouTube be like, yeah, I disagree. That's totally fine. Where I hate it is like the need to go further and kind of attack our character or talk about like, oh, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They're just fucking like that. Like they go the extra mile. It's like, whoa, we just have an opinion. If you want to give your opinion, that's fine. But they almost feel like a need to, they have such a need to prove us wrong that they comment their whole life story in our comments. And it's just like, I don't know if that's the way. I don't know. What's your stance on just bad comments? Like ones that they're like trying to hurt your feelings. You know those comments?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay. I think like if you're eliciting that response out of someone, then that's probably a good thing. Like we're at least producing something that has an opinion that people feel the need. Like I need to not only say I disagree with it, but say Matt and Eric, yeah, they've been like, there's one content specifically or one comment specifically that's like Matt and Eric know what they're doing in a content business, but like they have no idea what they're talking about from a real estate perspective. It's like people don't realize that you're actually selling an enormous amount of real estate. Like you just listed a property for $14 million. So I get it. And I do like it just because, again, we could create content out of content and it does help us understand like what are the pain points, what are the pressure points in this industry that we could talk about that actually create fun conversation. Because if everybody's just saying, be the digital mayor, interview local restaurant owners, be the rock star agent, post a bunch of content, but no one's pushing back or giving any criticism, then you're just going to have a bunch of, you know, repeat robots doing the same sort of content that gets nothing. So
yeah, you're going to create AI before AI creates itself.
Exactly. We are all AI generated bots.
Yeah. The other thing I hate about some comments is like when my, like when I'll post a video that's clearly a joke and people will comment like a serious response. Like, well, actually, if you really think of it, it should be that. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like I was joking and you've ruined my day now. You know, when people are just like too serious, it's like, okay, can't stand that.
Yeah. I just had, I don't even really read the comments anymore just on my page, which is stupid because I'm constantly preaching how you should comment back to people, like other comments, and you should be, you know, tweaking your responses and your, you know, future Instagram posts based off what people are saying. So I definitely needed to be doing more of that, but yeah, we, you know. We think the industry's soft, that's all.
Yeah, we think it's soft.
We're soft.
Let's move on to, yeah, we're soft sometimes. But we were soft. We were soft that night when we saw all the comments come in and we started feeling a little bad. And then we thought to ourselves, no, we're taking this back.
Yeah.
This, we are not attacking anybody. We are not targeting anybody. We were just talking out of our ass. We had an opinion and we have nothing to feel bad about.
Correct. We are good guys.
On that stand, on that, yeah, we are good guys. We're family men. We're married, and we're nice people.
Yeah,
with nice families and dogs. Correct. Okay, what do you think? What do you think of this? Handle Instagram handles, TikTok handles with something that like states you're a real estate agent. So either realtor or buying with Brian or moving with Mira. Mm-hmm. What's your stance on those kind of handles?
Moving with Mira specifically, I like because of the alliteration, and I think it's not long enough of a, or it's not too long of a handle. I like Katie Days, which is Move Me to Texas, because that's become like her entire brand. It's searchable on everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming you don't like it.
I don't know. I don't. Okay. Yeah, I forgot about Katie Day. Hers is really good and she crushes. I just think there's a lot of them now. Like, I think it's very unoriginal to the point where if I was a consumer, if someone like buying with Britney, and I'm sure there's a buying with Britney, I don't even know if there is. Don't come attack me. But, you know, when someone buying with Brian comes as a consumer, I'm thinking if they follow me, I'm not going to really want to follow them back. You know? Yeah. And that goes with the same as like your profile picture. I think profile pictures are very underrated and people don't put enough time and energy into it.
Everyone stop for a second. This market is a little bit tighter than it has been in the past few years, which means leads are not necessarily banging down the door. But you know who isn't worried right now? Agents who use Boomtown, the number one rated real estate CRM in the game.
That's right. Boomtown was actually founded in 2008, Eric. Do you know that?
Yeah, the same year the Phillies won the World Series against the Rays. How could I forget?
I'll take your word for it. In the middle of a housing crisis, their CEO, Greer Allen, built it from the ground up with the explicit intention of empowering agents to be successful no matter the market. So if you're ready to build a truly bulletproof business, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. Plus, see how you can score 750 big ones in free digital advertising. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the buy with Brandon's or the sell with Sally's. I think that's broad enough and it doesn't like take away, like you do kind of get an idea of what that person does, and it's not necessarily in their username either. So it's just the handle. I have a problem when it's a specific brokerage, like if it's, Compass Carly or something like that, which I think a lot of people don't do anymore. But obviously, if you do that, then you're going to screw yourself over if you ever switch brokerages. So
yeah,
I would try to keep the handle as broad as possible. But as long as your handle is the same throughout, then you're good.
Yeah,
I have a problem more with like, you know, Sally sells Texas Arcana _ Arlington or something like that. Like if it's a super long handle, I think that's when it's just not working to your advantage at that point.
It looks fake.
Yeah.
It like kind of looks fake. I get why you like it. Like, cause you had your handle selling with Simon when you were in the industry.
Exactly. No, it was sold with Simon. Dr. Selstein.
Simon sells it.
Yeah. Simon sells. The Simon fact that I didn't have Simon sells is ridiculous.
The fact that you didn't have, Simon says, you should have a series called Simon Says. Now,
that's yeah.
Do you know that game, or did you not play that in Arizona?
No, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're just too busy doing like the golfing on the golfing team, the chess club. You didn't play Simon Says.
Yeah, chess club was only until like kindergarten, fifth grade.
Were you like a chess prodigy? What do you mean only until kindergarten? You're playing chess at
I played kindergarten through fifth grade.
Jesus, good for you. Simon Says. Okay, let's move on. We're really
We're just getting some stuff off our chest here. Just some things that bother us.
Yeah.
Some phrases, cliches. I think one definitely that we've brought up before, or at least I think you've done a funny video about us, but the rock star agent has become another overused cliche that means basically nothing. I think anyone just says like, oh, they're a rock star agent, it can mean they sold 5 homes and that was pretty much it. Like if you're going to call someone a rock star agent, they better be doing like 100 million and freebasing like heroin on the side of showings or something like that. You know, like they better be doing like bumps off of their open house signs. They better be dressing really sick. They better be just absolutely crushing, because if everybody's a rock star agent, then nobody is.
Yeah. Like, for example, Sally moves to Texas is not a rock star agent.
Correct. Right.
She just can't be.
Right.
Brian buys Seattle. Not a rock star agent. Maybe because he lives in Seattle. Kirk goes to real estate camp. Not a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, another thing that people said, and I think this has such a bad rep for no reason. A lot of people were saying, well, they say it a lot with us, but particularly when we posted all that stuff about the restaurant owners, they said, oh, you guys are just doing stuff for clickbait. I think, why does clickbait have such a bad rep? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the whole point of producing content is to get clicks. The reason we title things a certain way, the reason a thumbnail is a certain way, the reason you as an agent are doing videos a certain way is so people could click and watch further. So when people say, oh, they're just trying to get comments, because we get that a lot on the BAM account if we're voicing any opinion whatsoever. It's like, of course, we're just trying to get comments. Like that's the name of the game. We're a media company. We're trying to get people to engage. We're a podcast. We're trying to get people to listen. We want to create some sort of emotion out of people. If we're just sitting here talking, saying nothing, that's not going to get any comments. So I think clickbait is just an easy thing for people to say when they get bothered by a piece of content. So instead of criticizing us back or forming their own opinion, they're just like, that's clickbait, which sure. The thumbnail for this podcast will probably literally just say clickbait, click this, watch this.
Well, I think as an agent, that should be something you strive for, is to create clickbait, have clickbait marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want. You want someone to see your listing and you want to have such an amazing whatever hook or title to that listing where they click wherever you want them to go, they're clicking on it. So that's not a bad thing. Don't let people say it's a bad thing. Those people, again, these are not opinions. We are just right now. We are just correct.
I think when people get upset with it is when whatever video it is has nothing to do with the title whatsoever. Like, you know, the Paul brothers used to do this stuff. I'm thinking like not early days of YouTube, but say 7-8 years ago, Jake Paul would have like the thumbnail. He'd have like a swimsuit model in it. It'll be like, we kissed or something like that. Right. And then, not that I would ever watch these videos, but, you know, occasionally I would, you know, just to see what another content creator was doing.
Correct. Yeah.
And you'd get 30 minutes in and there's no kissing, there's no nothing, there's no anyone in the bikini. And then so like that is obviously clickbait, where they're just trying to get you to click and has nothing to do. And we've actually gotten this pushback with some of our emails because we've used YouTube titles for emails, and that just gets a completely different response. So if you're watching this, listening to this, I highly recommend not doing YouTube titles as your email subject line. So if we're trying to get people to click on the hot sheet and we say Biden administration mortgage changes explained or something like that, maybe not explained, but exposed, like that sort of word, if you use like exposed, that might get people to open your email, but then they're going to feel a little tricked if then they have to watch an entire video and it's not really exposing it. It's actually just further explaining it. So I think you do got to get people to click, but whatever you're getting people to click on, that messaging does have to align with what the title and the thumbnail is. Because otherwise they're going to feel duped. They're not going to trust your content. They're not going to click on anything ever again.
Yeah, 100%. There's you can definitely go too far with it.
Yeah.
With like the clickbait. But what we did, especially that last thing we posted last week, like that was, I think that was just a good opinionated piece of content that people wanted to share their opinion on. And we like that. Share your opinion. And in fact, we're welcoming it to the point where we're trying to have people on the podcast to argue our opinions.
Yeah.
And we have yet to find anyone. So, what do you think of this? And this is more just like we've never really talked about this because I'm going through it right now. We think of double ending deals.
Like, do I think agents should do it?
Yeah.
I don't know. When I was an agent and I worked on a team, anytime the agent who I worked for, he'd always assign it to someone else on his team. So he wasn't representing both. So at least he didn't have to, I don't know, feel the guilt, I guess. But I don't know. What do you think? You're more active than I am about this.
Yeah. So I'm doing it right now. I have a listing. I showed it yesterday to buyers I got off of my digital marketing from my clickbait marketing. So I showed them. They liked it. They want to put in an offer. And I pretty much stopped them right there because I don't like handling both. I don't think it's fair. And it's still in Canada, at least. I don't know how it is in the States, but it's still technically multiple representation, even if it's from your same brokerage. But it's just, I think, way more fair because all my, we're going to get technical here, my fiduciary duty, Eric, is to the seller, right? So I can't really give the buyer any type of advice. So as soon as they said they want to offer, I said, hold on. Don't really tell me anything else because I want this to be fair for both parties. And I was like, I'm going to put you directly in contact with Anna right now, Anna Oliver, who's my partner, and she's taking it from there. And now we're doing the deal right now. And I think it's just way smoother. No one can, neither party can come really at you saying you were unfair. I think it's just a way more, I think it's just more ethical.
Yeah, there's also agents who wait for the deal to actually be double-ended, right? So if they get an offer, maybe they hold and say it has no expiration date, they're still holding off hoping that they will double-end it. So I just remember as a buyer's agent just calling to see if they were representing the other side, because then you know that other agent has skin in the game to try to get that offer accepted, right? They're going to try to finagle their way somehow, even if it's 20, 30 grand less, to convince their seller, like, no, you should probably go with this one, like, you know, it's got tighter contingencies, or like, I just trust this buyer more or something like that. So I just remember my mentor always saying, call the listing agent, see if they're representing any of the other offers that came in.
That happened to me here. I was in multiple offers like a year ago or whatever. And it was my buyer's like dream home. They wanted it so bad. And they probably offered. I normally do not let them offer like over what I think market value is, but when it's their dream home and they absolutely need it and they're never going to sell, I let them like get a little bit more crazy. So I think they went probably $25,000 more than I recommended was like market value, but they wanted it so bad. And the agent had a buyer they were representing as well. I submitted the offer at like 10 a.m. I didn't hear from her all day, the agent, until about like 4 p.m. And she just responded, buyer, sorry, the seller accepted another offer. And right. I looked the next day, it was her offer and it was $5,000 more than mine.
Right.
So
she didn't even try to counter or try to get you guys to come up or anything like that. Yeah. No. Because she was doubling up the commission.
Yeah. Cause she's a fucking horrible person.
Right.
Yeah. So if you know who you are, you know
sure
who you are.
I'm sure she's listening.
She probably is. And then she's done in my book. There's a couple agents I think you just have like a mental note that like you're just not going to do business with anymore because you just don't trust them. You've had a terrible deal. They couldn't close, some shit like that. That now when the ball's in your court, if they ever do show a listing or something, it's like, oh, well, sorry, you're fucked.
You always see that name again, though, because your client's dream house will end up being that agent's listing, and you despise that agent. And 5 years later, after a nightmare deal, you're going to end up having to work with that agent again. And that just, you know, like if you're working the same area as someone and you just have a horrific transaction, you hated communicating with that other person, it is always going to come back around. So I feel like you do have to kind of try to massage every relationship you have, knowing that that's potential to happen. Little words of wisdom from someone who's done, you know, next to no deals right there. So there you guys go.
Thank you. I mean, people really take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
That did make sense.
I think it made sense. It sounded like the right thing to say.
Yeah. What'd you think of my new piece of content?
I think it's good. I think watching your evolution from just the funny stuff and, you know, posting like a detailed story about a house that no humor at all, really, in this one. Like, you did a great listing video where you at least had humor riding up with the bike, and like the dialogue was funny. But I think this is necessary, right? Like, you're going to be selling $10 million listings, $5 million listings. Like, not every video you produce can be funny. It's not going to fit for every seller. So I think,
yeah,
I think it was really good because it was a story. It wasn't you just walking through the house. Like, you're sitting there with the co-list talking about how the house makes you feel. So I thought that elicited an emotional response and still is engaging to hear, because now you want to see another side of you, right? Like, if you're just an agent and you're used to watching Leonetti content, you're expecting one thing. I think people do appreciate versatility. Maybe it's not going to get it, you know, it's not going to get shares or engagement like some of your other posts, but who cares, right? Like, you're trying to pitch a listing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it just didn't feel right. I mean, this with the family story and everything, like, the house was so, like, they loved the house and shit. And, like, it was just not, it just didn't feel right to, like, go in there and do, like, a funny skit. Like, it just wasn't, it wasn't the vibe. But you still have to, you know, they expect things from you, especially when you pitch your social, you know, a lot of the times, like, that like, we have good social marketing and stuff like that. People expect those things, and you got to make it work. So not everyone, like you said, can be funny. But we are going to be doing some funny ones for, like, some of our high end listings still. But I think it's just a cool, yeah, I actually really liked doing it too. It's just, like, yeah, different for me.
Yeah. If you build a following, like, you and Dan both do a great job. Like, Dan posts his listings still. Like, he'll post, you know, single shots, he'll post slideshows. Like, if you're going to go in there and you're going to pitch, I have 80,000, I got 60,000 followers, like, I have this enormous online audience, but then you just don't post anything because you know it's not going to get the engagement, then, like, what's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
So I like seeing it, and I think people are going to start to see, like, people need to see agents like you and agents with big followings that are still focused on showcasing their listings and doing the service for their clients.
Yeah, you need to do what's best for them. And, like, I'm getting pretty good engagement on it. A lot of people are, like, some, like, dickhead comments, like always, but some people are like, oh, I thought this was going to be a skit, and some people just, like, really liked the angle. I mean, it is what it is, right? People, I just think it's cool to be, like you said, way more versatile. So that's what I'm trying. And it's good to, like, no matter what you're doing in your business right now, like, try new shit. You need to try new shit, because, like, even how the funny of my content has evolved from what it was, pretty much all, like, remember when I just did, like, those phone call skits?
Yeah.
Like, that's all it was. And it's evolved to whatever, like, the bigger productions and the car rants and stuff like that. It's like, if you just do the same thing every time, it's like, people are going to expect it, and it kind of loses its, I don't know, loses something.
Muster.
That's it. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Not the word I was looking for, but it's a good one.
Yeah. I think it works. Yeah. You gotta always evolve the content. That's what we preach.
Yeah. Yeah. We preach it all the time. So, if you disagree with that, then come at us. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Come at us and debate that. Obviously, to end, Byron, Nicole, the real word. You guys are insane.
The real turd. Right?
Every time I open up Instagram,
it's Byron reacting to one of your videos.
The guy right now is in his little dungeon with no windows, watching either Overask or my content, just chomping at the bit to prove us wrong.
Hey, we are a content machine here. That is what we got to do. We are creating content out of content. We're going to start reacting to Byron shit, because God knows he has a lot of wrong opinions.
Yeah. We're going to react to him reacting to us.
Yep, exactly. There are so many videos of that. There's a bunch of YouTube titles where it's like Jordan Peterson reacts to Ben Shapiro reacting to Jordan Peterson's comment on Joe Rogan or something like that.
Yeah, that's insane. We should start. We're going to be able to do it soon with all the reaction content.
Right.
But, yeah, if you disagree with anything in this, truly, and we'll be able to know if you don't disagree and you're just trying to get on the podcast, let us know. And you can come on the podcast and debate us.
Correct.
It's going to be a new over-ask section.
Yeah, debates. All right, if you enjoyed this, throw this video a like. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you next week.